Welcome to Baba's Beach. This is episode number 14. I moved out to Victoria in 1982. Anyone familiar with the economic cycles of the time will immediately recognize this as the beginning of the Great Recession of the 80s. Not an auspicious time to move to a depressed area without any concrete prospects of employment. By the end of that first year, my optimism was getting severely dented. My UIC was coming to an end, and bare subsistence though it was, at least it covered the necessities, rent, cigarettes, even food occasionally. I had been augmenting my income with a variety of temporary jobs, gardening, driving little old ladies to the grocery store, and one memorable month as an end-of-season deckhand on my future father-in-law's troller. Every day for a month, I'd fling my 5'3", 120-pound body into rain gear usually worn by the husky 6-foot-plus, 200-pound regular deckie, and head out to do my job harvesting salmon on the mighty, heaving Pacific. I did a lot of my own heaving, too, plus banging, sliding, and flopping around in the back end of that diesel-coughing troller. It felt like I'd found myself in a bizarre Captain Highliner ad directed by Steven Spielberg's demented evil twin. Within a week of returning to dry land, I found myself working in a restaurant. 6 months later, a higher-paying restaurant job came my way. Now, by standing on my tiptoes, I was above the poverty line by a chin hair. Isn't there something wonderful about that first paycheck that doesn't disappear into rent and toilet paper before sunset on payday? To celebrate, I went out and bought myself a luxury with the remainder. For the first time in well over 3 years, I bought underwear. Nothing frilly or extravagant, simply good, comfortable cotton panties with a pattern of itty-bitty blue flowers. I returned to work the next day, strutting with that confidence only new and intact unmentionables can confer. At the end of that wonderful week, the head cook called me to the upstairs office. She told me she'd developed concerns about my ability to carry the workload involved in the kitchen. As I felt the blood fall to my feet and all the solid matter beneath me turn to jelly, she smiled brightly and asked if I'd help her out by staying on for another week to train her friend, my replacement. The sunshine failed to warm me on that long walk home. A few minutes after I walked in the door, one of my roommates said someone named Angela had called. I phoned the number she'd left. It had taken 2 years, but the agency commissioned by the government to collect defaulted student loans had at last tracked me down. I don't recall much of the rest of that day. I do know my boyfriend brought me some flowers, and I imagine my roommates surreptitiously removed all the sharp implements from the bathroom. What I do recall, and ultimately the point of this story, is what occurred after I went to bed that evening. I awoke sometime in the middle of the night. All was quiet in the house except for a gentle rustling, I thought, of the wind outside. I looked up and noticed a white fog across the ceiling of my room. It became huge, rolling clouds that fell back to reveal an enormous Baroque balcony of gilded marble. Over this spilled the robes of the master of the universe himself. Yucking it up on my ceiling was God and a few of his angels. All these billowing clouds were their celestial garments flowing around them as they rolled about helpless with laughter. I even saw his sandals as he whooped and fell over backwards, squealing with delight at the wide-eyed bewilderment on my face. There was a flash of pink as two cherubs, wiping tears from their eyes and gasping for breath, pointed at me and then collapsed behind the balcony rail. They were feathers, white garments, clouds, masses of divine, biblically white hair, interspersed with the pink faces, arms, and legs of cherubim, seraphim, etc., swirling around my head. I don't know whether it was a vision sent from my guardian angel, or if it was from the revoltingly cheap scotch I had downed earlier, but as it slowly faded, I went back to sleep, comforted in the knowledge that my suspicions about my purpose in life were correct. Shakespeare was right when he had his dreary Dane say, "There is a divinity that shapes our ends." And I have a fair suspicion it also had something to do with the invention of whoopee cushions.
I can't believe what I'm seeing. Your spirituality, who you are totally. This time, the land of me, the end of hiding. Thank you for being pure. You kept going. You kept going. Withdrawn. Withdrawn. Thanks for the voice to continue on. In the in-between, human and free. Escape through expression and what you believe. Me, I am you, I get it, I'm connected. To walk around as a being is really an excellent thing. Your message, I get it, I'm connected.
Thank you for listening to the Baba's Beach podcast. Please send comments to babasbeach@gmail.com and visit us at babasbeach.ca. That's babasbeach.ca. Today's music was courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. Visit babasbeach.ca for show notes and links to the artists.